Blog Talk Radio.
Hiya, Nidala, what? Hiya, what?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. As I was, as I was, as I was. Your energy, it's your brother Wisdom. You know, suffer with the cosmic elders tonight, elder brothers. And the message came, and I really expressed this as we were in council. And in council, we were like, the original people, our people, were not supposed to be at the same level of power that the ancestors were at. No. You're not supposed to be equal to their power. No, no, no. That's what you call an unbalance. When you have made your power equal to the power of the ancestors, that's unbalanced. Our duty as the original people of this planet, this galaxy, as we're in the new part of the cosmos, and we're expanding into a new area of uncharted energy, our duty is to be far more powerful than the ancestors were. Our duty is to tap into energies and powers that they could not tap into. We're coming into a whole new energy, a whole new level of understanding and knowledge and wisdom that they didn't have. Our bodies are being conditioned and primed for an energy that far surpasses anything that they could ever do, as we will be multitasking in the areas of dark energy, light energy, photon energy, plasma energy. We will be literally flowing crystal energy, using the binary particles of light, going into the excessive feed of the true nature of who we are. Yes, our duty is to not be at the same level of our ancestors. The duty for us is to exceed their power. exceed their energy, exceed everything that they did. Doing this takes us to more heightened levels of spirituality, takes us into more powerful areas of the cosmos. That's why we say go into the darkness, find yourself, and you will find out that you have a power that the ancestors could not have at that time. We're moving into an area of life where we don't have to use these electronics anymore because our bodies will be the charge. That's why it's so important for us to go within ourselves and find new ways of creating energy and power. Finding new ways of flowing the energy. We must find ourselves within ourselves. That's the whole part of you going into meditation. Meditation is a lonely road. It's a lonely road. But that's all right, because each one of us has to travel that road alone. None of us is going to share that road with anyone else. Each one of our roads are destined for us to travel. This is destiny. This is fate. It's so important that we see that where we are to be right now is not where our ancestors were. That's why it's important for us to flow, to flow, to flow. Make this energy in you more powerful. Listen to the drums and the horns. Listen to the flutes and the cymbals, the harps, the brass. Go deeper in yourself. Go deeper and deeper. Go to the place where you have never been. Flow in that energy. Flow in that power. For you will find, you will find something that was missing from you. You will find that golden treasure, and it's all within you. You will find that ancient language. You will find that powerful tongue. You will find new movements of what they call Mundu, martial arts. You will find all types of power and energy. It is important that we know that we are to supersede the powers that the ancestors had. Our enemies know this. They know this. So as they're covering the sky, what did we say before? You reach your hands up there and you absorb the energies of the chemtrails. You absorb the energies that they put up there. Use it to your advantage. When they try to hold us down, we stand. So whatever method that they try, they say, well, we're not going to let them see the sun around this time of year because it's so powerful, it's going to give them power. But at the same time, we try to protect our people. This is what they're saying. So if they're doing this, absorb the energies from the chemtrails. So whatever energies that our sun put into these trails, these chemicals, and these metals that they put in the sky, you go out into meditation and you absorb this energy and you will feel the sharpness. And this will make you more powerful. This will make you more energetic. It will make you more open to the cosmos. It will make you more brighter and wiser and more knowledgeable. It will give you powers beyond powers beyond powers. It is all your duty to get the power that belongs to you, because if you don't go after it, it's not going to come to you. You got to get this power, my people. Our duty is to be far more powerful than the ancestors. Our duty is to supersede what they did. Open up the ground and make lightning come down at the same time. Make fire and water flow in the same energy. Make the wind and fire flow together. It is so important that we supersede the powers that our ancestors had, because we're dealing with a different breed of enemies. We are so powerful, my people. We are so mighty. Whatever they put before us, you do not let it hold you down. On that cartoon movie I watched with Silver Surfer, he was getting sucked into a black hole and he was trying to fight it, and he says, hold on. If I fight it, then it's going to make me less powerful. He says, okay, I will absorb the energy from it. And he absorbed the energy from the black hole, and he became even more powerful by absorbing the energy from the black hole than what he was before he got to the black hole. So the whole key point is for us, when we're faced with a battle, and these beings are using different methods and tactics to hold us back, we absorb the energy that they send out. And by absorbing this energy, we then can control what they put out there, and gives us absolute power to be the true supreme beings of our planet. If we cannot be the supreme beings, then who will be? Because they're not. So it's important that we go deep within ourselves and find this energy and power, because this belongs to us. We must be far more powerful than what the ancestors ever were. We must supersede their powers. We must be on top of everything. We must be able to see light in the darkness and see darkness in the light. We must be able to see the filaments of the darkness. We must be able to see the atoms of the light. It is so important that we go within ourselves. And this is so serious, my people. Yes, like I said, the road of meditation is a lonely road, but that road will lead you to pure power and greatness, and you will not be ashamed, and you will not be useless to Mother Cosmos. Everything that you put your mind to will come to you before you even get through thinking it. Go into that energy. Go into that power. Flow with that energy. Flow with the power. Know what is inside of you is far greater than what's outside of you. Know that you are the all in the all in the all. Go within yourself, my people. Flow with the energy. Become the energy. And far surpass the powers that our ancestors had. I'm watching all of you. Far just surpass all of the powers that our ancestors had. Seek to create new powers and new energies. Become that energy that created you from the beginning. Mold yourself into the shape of the Mother Cosmos. Mold yourself into the shape of Mother Universe. Mold yourself into the shape of Mother Galaxy. Mold yourself into the shape of Mother Nature. And become all four in one, for four is the number of perfection. And you will become a fifth being, which is balance. Honor the ancestors and see that everything that they left behind for us was to help us. They left no brick unturned. They dotted all their I's and they crossed all their T's. They left everything for here for us to follow. Now that you're on the pathway, you create a new path from the path that they created. Don't follow in their footsteps. You create your new path. And therefore, you are now a new being of power and energy. All power to the multi-chakra celestial energy beings. Peace to you all.
Brothers and sisters, melanin. This is a meditation session. I need you to sit down and relax yourself. Palms facing up on your lap. Clear your mind. Let's clear your mind. Breathe in and out. Slowly in with your nose, out with your mouth. This is a meditation session to connect to the Prime Creator. Connect to this ancestral energy. Yourself down now. Forget about everything that's around you. Know that everything is an illusion. If it's not nature, it's not real. Remember the words of the Prime Creator. The walls that the enemy has built are not real. The bills are not real. The money, the laws, religion, everything they created is not real. Now, let's begin to walk through this. If you have any crystals, if you have any rituals, like your candles, that you would like to put in place, you can go ahead and pause now and set everything up in place for yourself so that you can have a wholesome meditation session, okay? Here we go. Now you want to breathe in deeply. And just release everything. Release everything. Just like take that deep breath. Everything that's been on your mind, just push it out with a breath. Because none of this stuff is real. Family arguments, they're all walls because they're created all around illusions. Now let's settle yourself. Settle. Let's settle yourself. Make yourself into the nature that you desire to be. See the energy. energy all around you. Feel the energy flowing. Feel it flowing. Know the energy now. Take your time. If you're starting to have thoughts, starting to have random thoughts, let's take care of that now. Say it softly, inner peace. Inner peace. Inner peace. Say this with your heart. Inner peace. Make sure your palms are up on your lap. Back straight. Control your breathing. Now let's slowly go deeper into the darkness. Once you go into the darkness, you'll never be the same. This is where all your power is. In the darkness, all your power belongs. In the darkness. There you go. Now increase your energy. Increase your energy. See the light flowing all around you now. You're going to see light, energy. Some of you may see colors. These colors are just your different levels of chakras, where your chakra levels are. If you see purple, then that's your pineal gland. If you see green, that's your heart chakra. If you see red, that's your root chakra. You see all these different colors. See the yellow, that's your crown chakra, what's called the halo. Breathe in deeply. Now I want you to go deeper into the darkness. Go deeper to the darkness. Go deeper. My voice, the frequencies behind you. Go deeper. There you go. Now you may begin to see ancestors. You may begin to see faces. These are all ancestors. Do not fear. There's a door of light. Go through it. Go through that door. Here you will run into ancestral energy, the very beginning. In the secret place of the Most High, the secret place of the Most High is absolute darkness.
See yourself the way you want to be spiritually.
energy, ice, frequencies, laser, nature, flying, see where you want to be in nature, perfect that in your spirit and mind now. slowly open your eyes. And this was your meditation session. Here, in this meditation session, we tapped into some ancient ancestral energy, some ancient ancestral powers. Each one of you were given some type of power of knowledge or some type of knowledge. Share it. But that which was given to you and only you, that only belongs to you and no one else. Whatever you were told by the ancestors, by the prime creator, to better yourself, that only belongs to you. No one else should know. You work on that. But if you gain whatever new knowledge you gain through this, please share it, because knowledge is energy. Share it among your brothers and sisters. Do this often. Meditation is the most powerful ancient practice that we have, and it builds you up to the most powerful level that you could ever be. Always meditate. Always be in a meditative mind. Do not allow yourself to fall back. Do not allow yourself to be destroyed by the illusions outside of us. Remember, the walls that our enemies created are fake. The bills, the money, the laws, the religion, these are fake walls. Walk through them. And through your meditation, you walk into technology, into power. And this is how you become all powerful. This is your key to true power. This is your destiny, to return back to the greatness from whence you came. All power to the multi-chakra people of Melanin. I'm glad that you meditated with me. Peace.
Enhance your mind. Recharge your spirit. Awaken your soul. Enhancing Awareness Radio. Enhancing awareness with clarity.
Greetings, 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 everyone. Thank you guys for tuning in to another broadcast of Haru the Oracle Presents. And what these broadcasts are, guys, is just pretty much pop-up broadcasts, you know, that I do not scheduled, you know, pretty much divinely scheduled, right? So here's another one, Haru the Oracle 7 Presents. And guys, today, this is actually one broadcast that we're actually doing today in the classroom. The classroom is coming up at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central. But I wanted to do this particular broadcast because when it comes to ancestral communication, guys, as I'm learning in my own personal walk, there are so many avenues. There are so many precautions. There are so many things that are not taught, you know, on the world stage that we really, truly need to know. And it's very important to know some of these things. So, you know, when I come into wisdom and knowledge and stuff like that, I like to share it with you guys. You know, I don't like to harbor any. You know, I just like to share with you guys. So there was a book that I actually came across. You know, and the book is called Connecting with the Ancestors by Monique Joyner Sydock. So that's Monique spelled M-O-N-I-Q-U-E. Middle name is J-O-I-N-E-R. Last name is S-I-E-D-L-A-K. And it's just a short book. It's about 44 minutes long. I'm going to play the book, you guys. It's an audio book. I'm going to play it for you guys so you guys can hear it. So that's my intention in coming on in the now, is to play this audio book before the actual broadcast, because we're going to be talking a lot in the broadcast. And, you know, guys, I'm a stickler in not just sharing what we know here at Ear, but I like to listen more, and I like to listen more than I teach. You know what I mean? Some people are like, you know, you need to teach more and tell, you know, give your wisdom. But, guys, I'm truly a listener. You know what I mean? And I like to observe and learn. So here at Ear, you know, I love to insert not just us and what we teach, but also, you know, the wisdom and knowledge of others. So let's go ahead and play this audiobook, guys. And this is tip on connecting with the ancestors. Please also be sure to join us at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, here in about an hour or two. You know, as we are going to be having a motivational classroom where we're going to be talking and having open discussion on this same particular topic. But I just wanted to leave this in the archives as a reference to anyone who, you know, needed some tips. I mean, this is a wonderful book. You guys will see. But I'll be back to wrap up. But I hope you guys enjoy this. And, yep, I will be back. All right, let me make sure I got everything together. All right, here we go.
Introduction. Various forms of ancestral communication and worship have been vital, integral parts of many great cultures and religions. Wherever you may be from, chances are your ancestors practiced some form of ancestral communication. The Gaelic Celts, who celebrate Samhain, Mexican Dia de Muertos, forms of ancestor worship have massively influenced modern culture. Ancestral communication can be traced back to mankind's earliest people because as long as there has been the concept of an afterlife, have prayed to those sent there. Nearly every great culture had some form of ancestral communication. Ancient Greeks would create small shrines in their home to honor the dead. Ancient Chinese emperors would hold massive festivals to worship their ancestors. So, every pre-Columbian civilization in the Americas practiced worshiping and presenting offerings to their dead. You may ask, all of those cultures are long gone. Why do we not practice ancestral communication anymore? Well, you will be happy to know many modern cultures do still practice ancestral communication in one form or another. Anyone familiar with Catholicism, Anglicanism, Eastern Orthodoxy may know of All Saints' Day and All Souls' Day, which in the Western Church are observed every November 1st and 2nd, effectively right after Halloween. Korea practice a few ceremonies called Jesa. Basically, these ceremonies are performed on the anniversary of an ancestor's death. In addition to services performed on a specific anniversary, there are also ancestral rites held on the 10th lunar month and tea ceremonies held four times a year on significant anniversaries. Safe to say, Korean ancestors get a lot of love. Aside from established religion, most of us have performed some kind of ancestral worship before. They have been visiting the grave of a deceased family member, placing some flowers for them, or having a row of pictures on your mantelpiece. Regardless of how you decide to honor your ancestors, they are there. They appreciate it. Even if you don't have graves to visit, pictures to place, there are endless of other ways in which you can celebrate and honor your ancestors. This book continues. We'll examine them one by one. Chapter 1. Who are our ancestors? Our ancestors are those who came before. Not just your great-grandparents, also their great-grandparents, and so on. It's your entire bloodline, the first of your family name, to your recent relatives. Our ancestors are who we have to thank for us being here, without them fighting for survival over the centuries. would have never existed. That, think the ancestors of every person deserve some well-earned respect and admiration. Who is an ancestor? The uninitiated. They seem a bit confusing, seeing all this talk of ancestors, not understanding what kind of being they are. Put it simply, souls of the dead. Do not fear. Don't be practicing black magic or raising the dead. Simply want to talk with them. Want to learn from them. Share their knowledge. Give them some company in the afterlife. Some religions claim the spirits of the dead are unreachable on the other side. The practice has shown otherwise. The conclusion of this book will have the tools available for you to contact your forebears and seek their wisdom in life. Who are your ancestors? Now, how do we figure out who your ancestors are? Close relatives should be easy to find out about. Asking a parent, grandparent, or maybe some elder relative about your family shed a lot of light on your familial past. But, of course, your recent ancestors are not the only ones we will be communicating with. You may need to delve deeper into your heritage to get a clearer idea of your ancestors. They fearsome warriors of a warlike nation. Maybe they were peaceful subsistence farmers. May have some great leaders, inventors, philosophers in your ancestry. Of course, it's hard to find specifics. A bit of research can go a long way. Finding the origin of your parents' family names, searching for any well-known people who may share that name, a variety of it, be a great place to start. There are always DNA kits and ancestry tests that you can pay for, too. But I do not think they are necessary. Your ancestors will reveal themselves to you over time. Spend more time with them. They will share more with you. Discovering our ancestors. Discovered who your ancestors are and what kind of being they are. We have yet to touch on where they are. Every single belief system has a different name for it, whether it be heaven, the Summerland, Valhalla, or another. Regardless of the name, it's more or less the same place. The astral plane is where we will find our ancestors. This is a plane of existence separated from our world, intertwined with its very fabric. This is the realm of spirits. How it looks and is structured, only guess. Some people claim to be able to see it or even visit it. Still, for every person, I believe, the experience is different. Well as inhabiting the astral plane, ancestors are part of us, have a blood bond connecting us to them. A portion of them lives in us, which makes forming a connection to them very easy. We go forward through this book. We'll explore ways of making that connection and contacting their plane of existence. Genuinely hold the belief everyone should discover their ancestors. Modern society will far too often forget their origins, they came from, who they have to thank. Finding our ancestors and making contact with them can rediscover a part of who we are that's been long forgotten. Chapter 2. I communicate with your ancestors. Now that we have learned so much about our ancestors, you may start to wonder why we are trying to contact them. There's this notion of out of sight, out of mind, guarding the dead in this day and age. It is a crucial part of every person's spiritual journey to form this connection with their forebears. Ancestors are there to assist us in life. By ignoring them, we're missing out on an incredible hoard of wisdom and knowledge. Our spiritual growth benefits massively from making bonds with the world around us. Our ancestors are part of our world, just as much as the birds outside the window. Communicating with your ancestors. We explore talking with the ancestors in this book. We'll be presented with various techniques for contacting them. Still, before we get to any of that, to talk about the benefits and how we can grow by spending time with them. Creating a bond with the ancestors is more than just keeping them company or asking for their help. It's a form of spiritual enlightenment. Reasons for communicating. Each one of us has the sacrifices of our ancestors to thank for our life, the foundations of our existence, and, therefore, deserving of our eternal gratitude and reverence. Essential way of showing our gratitude through the actions we perform in our daily life. Ancestors did not sacrifice so much for you to be a harmful and selfish person. Being a loving and kind person is the first step toward thanking our ancestors and growing as a person. For life, we face many challenges that are, in fact, results of our ancestral heritage. Many of us may suffer from an addictive personality, ill illness, predisposition toward violence, a myriad of other conditions passed down to us from those who came before. May seem unfair. We should be shouldered with the burdens of our ancestors. Just as we can heal by making the right choices for ourselves, we can help our ancestors heal. Many people think that it is our duty to help our ancestors overcome their flaws in death. They may live a peaceful afterlife. Assisting them to overcome their weaknesses also help ourselves grow as people. So, address the issues we have been given. Example, you have a family history of depression. Be vigilant for the signs of it in yourself. Seek help, any appear. Similarly, for health conditions, you have a history of certain diseases in your family. Be wise to have frequent checkups. Our ancestors want you to avoid the mistakes they made. We're here to guide you on your journey toward a fulfilled potential. In achieving your potential, bring honor and the greatest gratitude to your ancestors, as well as remedying potential issues passed down to us. We can help our ancestors to ourselves balance our karma. Whether you believe in karma or not, it is an integral part of our bond with our ancestors. Not all of our ancestors were ethical people in their physical lives. We may have some awful people in our lineage. We can help them atone and turn a better direction in our own lives. Oh, good acts, of course. Forming acts of charity and kindness. Living an ethical life dedicated to the ancestors will help bring balance to your bloodline. Will help your ancestors atone for their wrongdoings and will allow you to take a more fulfilling path in life with their support. We decide to help our ancestors on their journey to spiritual balance. They may choose to assist us in return. Through dreams, they may send us signs and messages. Through meditation, they speak words of wisdom to us. May even positively influence things in our favor in life. Help us on our path forward. Stand to gain so much from having a positive relationship with our ancestors. Chapter 3. Spiritually connecting with your ancestors. This chapter, we'll take our first tentative step toward starting our first proper dialogue with the ancestors. First contact must be made respectfully. You introduce yourself, that you are in the right mindset to receive feedback from your ancestors' spirits. How to spiritually connect with your ancestors. Think your first actual communication with the ancestors an exciting experience. Not be lured into the trap of doing too much too fast. Just as with meeting people in real life, you should start small. Simple greeting and introduction are the ideal way to make the first contact with your ancestors. Of course, they already know who you are a part of you after all. Manners are essential. Just set the scene. For your first communication, want to be somewhere comfortable and quiet. This is an intimate experience, and you do not want interruptions if you can avoid it. Some sage or incense to cleanse the air around you. Small bowl of water on the ground to wash your hands is a powerful action of cleansing, too. Seat yourself in a comfortable position. You can assume a meditative pose or take a seat in a chair. Whatever you prefer most is best. Now comes time for the prayer. You have a background in Christianity. You probably started a prayer with Please God or Holy Father at some time in your life. Give these prayers to the ancestors in a similar light, with respect and reverence, such as Great Ancestors or I Welcome You, Ancestors. Make sure your breathing is slow and calm. Try to clear your mind of everything except what you wish to say. Then, please introduce yourself as you would to an acquaintance and let your ancestors know a bit about yourself. This first communication will not do much more than this. This is our initial correspondence. You can perform this prayer for a few days if you wish, adding different details each time, sharing stories and telling them about your goals in life. Remember to always close off your prayer with a goodbye. It may seem like something unimportant and easy to forget. Still, ever you open a connection to the ancestors, you must remember to close it. The same way, you may open a fridge to retrieve a refreshing drink of water and then close it again, but not to waste electricity. We should treat this connection the same. The energy of the ancestors is precious and should not be wasted. We'll end every prayer with a thank you and a goodbye. The importance of respect. Mentioned above, respect is essential. Ancestors are age-old spirits, and many generations may separate them from you. One thing that transcends any boundaries of time or age is respect. We compose ourselves calmly and respectfully, show manners and kindness, and act with generosity toward our ancestors. We'll get the same treatment in return. On the other hand, we are disrespectful and demanding toward our ancestors. Will not be inclined to help us or share their knowledge. Must act in a manner that shows us as worthy of their energy and wisdom. Chapter 4, Creating a Shrine. Next big step in our ancestral communication has a shrine or altar at which we can say prayers, form rituals, and present gifts. Shrine will be your hub of spiritual activity and, therefore, be made with care and love. This will be the gateway between realms that allows your ancestors to meet you. How to build your shrine. Building a shrine is crucial to our efforts at communicating. Although it may seem a lot of work at first glance, it is undoubtedly worth it in the long run. This holy place will heighten our connection with our ancestors. Aside from the actual benefits of having a finished shrine, the actual process of building it is a healing one. Devoting your time and effort into something so pure and spiritual is good for the soul. The happier you are with your shrine, the happier your ancestors will be. Starting with the basics, we will go step by step through the process of building a shrine for our ancestors. First, want to find a nice space for your shrine. Start your shrine building in a pleasant, quiet area. preferably somewhere where it will not be disturbed by curious hands. Depending on your preference, you can have it in a well-lit area with a view to the outside, but a dim room doesn't make a difference. Whatever speaks to you while creating your place of prayer will work fine. I would recommend not building your shrine in a bedroom if you can avoid it. Your shrine will be a center of spiritual activity. The energy around it may make it hard for sensitive people to sleep and relax in the same room as it. Second, if we have chosen an area, we must cleanse it. Make sure the space is uncluttered and cleaned of any dust. Burn some sage or incense of your choice in the area to cleanse the air. A clean cloth and some plain water. Wipe down the surfaces around your shrine. Anywhere you may be sitting during prayer or wherever you plan to put items for rituals. Third, need to lay down a piece of cloth over the altar of our shrine, the centerpiece, if you will. Plain white cloth will be fine because it is a great neutral color. Choose whatever color speaks to you. Cloth symbolizes the separation of our world and the realm between them and us. Everything below the cloth belongs to our world. Everything on top of the cloth is shared with them. Fourth, need items of ancestral value to place on our shrine. Whether this is a picture of a deceased relative, family heirloom, or a relic of your heritage. Careful putting too many things on your shrine, though. Do not want it too cluttered. It's far better to focus your energy on a small number of items than have it spread across too many. So, careful placing a picture with people other than the specific ancestor you wish to contact on the shrine. You do not want to attract other spirits besides your ancestors. The other person in the picture is still alive. Should not involve them in our ancestral affairs. Fifth and last, place a candle and a bowl of clean water on the altar or centerpiece of your shrine. We make contact with our ancestors in any way. We'll light the candle to call on them. Now that you have built your shrine, we'll need to activate it. Make your first contact through it. Make sure you are prepared. Mind is clear. Your body is relaxed. People have already spoken to your ancestors at this point. Still, communication through a shrine is much more intense if done correctly. Now, step by step, I will guide you through the process of activating your shrine. First, we must light our candle. This signals to the spirits that you are there and that they are welcome to join you. Second, take a few deep breaths. Calm yourself and clear your mind. Invite your ancestors to speak with you at the shrine. Calling on them out loud is best. You must do it quietly. That will work too. To make sure that regardless, you speak from the heart. You cannot decide on the way to call upon them. Keeping it simple is always fine. Think along the lines of, ancestors, I ask you to join me here at my shrine. Please come and speak with me. Work perfectly. You're repeating your call to the spirits as many times as you feel you need to. Take a minute of silence to center yourself once more. I would suggest, before going any further, you set boundaries with the spirits that have joined you. Lay down the spaces of your home where they may interact with you. And the off-limits areas. Do not want our dreams disturbed by talkative spirits, or do we want our personal space and privacy invaded? Open yourself to questions, requests, and negotiations. Your ancestors may ask for gifts or offerings. They may ask questions about you and about people you may both know. Feel free to answer them as long as you are comfortable. You are here to form a bond with them after all. Learning about each other is the best way to do that. in mind, should always be prepared to say no. Might have a question you are not able to or comfortable answering, or a request you cannot fulfill. Don't be scared to say no. You are the one who opened the dialogue, and you can close it. Treat them as if they were a normal human being in the room with you. The same boundaries that you would with any other person. Shift and laugh. Remember to close the connection when you are finished. After your conversation with the spirits, say thank you and goodbye. Close the dialogue between you and them. Out the candle and cleanse the room once more with incense. Right time. Time you choose to talk with your ancestors may affect the intensity of the experience. Many cultures recognize moon cycles as important times of spiritual activity. New moon is a particularly powerful spiritual phase that you can use to bolster your prayers and ceremonies. Aside from moon cycles, some particular days and months offer heightened activity. Bohain, O Souls Day, Dia de Muertos, or other significant days honoring the dead in your family's religious or cultural background. Days or birthdays of specific ancestors you are trying to reach out to. And your birthday is a powerful time of the year. You can reach out to ancestors who have had their days of birth and death forgotten on this day. Month of October. This time of the calendar year has been observed for centuries to have massively heightened spiritual activity. Many consider this is the time of year when the spiritual realm and this world are at their closest. Offerings for the ancestors. You may feel slightly lost out offerings for the honored dead. Still, fear not. There are plenty of offerings that nearly all dead appreciate. You have a particular ancestor in mind for your offerings. You have an idea of what they liked. And of course, you should offer something specific. Your deceased grandfather liked smoking his pipe. A bowl of tobacco would be appreciated. Your deceased aunt had a fondness for sweets and treats. Handful of candy would go down well. You have a recipe book passed down on one side of the family. Try and recreate one of the dishes. For generalized offerings that all dead may enjoy, you can try some of the following. Bowl of clean water. I've already established this as a part of every prayer ceremony. And or alcohol, flowers, herbs, and incense. Find simple jewelry or gemstones. Hot aromatic tea or coffee. Tobacco, candy, desserts, and sugary food or drink. Freshly peeled and cut fruits. Hearty home-cooked meal. Not many senses cross into the spiritual realm. It seems our ancestors have kept their sense of smell. They have a particular fondness for aromatic and sweet-smelling foods, flowers, and incense. Anything with a pleasant smell may go down well as an offering to them. A convenient way of including your ancestors in family gatherings over holiday periods by putting aside a small portion of whatever you prepared for your living family. Simply present it to the ancestors before it cools. We're reheating it later before offering. Chapter 5, Working with Our Ancestors. This final chapter will be presented with all the tools to build a healthy, beneficial, and long-lasting relationship with your ancestors. Taking what we have already learned in terms of prayer and offerings, we'll build upon this knowledge by learning about dream work. This will include rituals and some more advanced prayer techniques. What is dream work? Dream work is the practice of inviting your ancestors into your dreams to provide you with visions and guidance on current issues in your life or potentially problems that are yet to come. may seem a scary concept to let spirits into your dreams. You are in full control. You invite them in, and if at any point you feel uncomfortable, need only wake up. Guide to dream work. Being blessed with a dream is a rather simple process. Ask. You have a good relationship with your ancestors. They will be eager to help. Requesting a dream from them during a ritual or prayer can be a great help in life. Keep in mind the boundaries that you previously set in your home. Your bedroom is off limits to the ancestors. And consider sleeping in a different room they have access to. Otherwise, you may not get as much help as you would wish. Asking about a specific issue or topic will also help the ancestors focus their energy on one point. You have centuries of wisdom at your fingertips. Feel free to ask for their assistance. I am sure they will be happy to oblige. How to read your dreams. Reading dreams can be tricky. So much is up to interpretation. There are a few handy tricks that can help bring clarity to your blessed dreams. Record your dreams. Immediately after having a profound dream, write down everything you can. Prioritize highlights, the things that stand out first. Then fill in the smaller details later. Mustn't waste the wisdom of the ancestors by forgetting what they have shown us in our dreams. So make sure you have a pen and paper near every time you go to sleep. Do not make any assumptions. Try not to read into your dreams too much right after having them. Consult your notes over the course of the coming day. Slowly pick apart the details you noted down. Try to leave logic at the door when writing down and studying your dreams. There is no logic in a dream, and therefore, looking at them through a logical eye will just muddy the waters. Completely honest with yourself. All have dreams where we do things we may not be proud of. Sometimes illegal and immoral actions in dreams are a way of bringing attention to something your ancestors feel you need to focus on. For example, you were to have an inappropriate sexual relationship with someone in a dream. Does not necessarily mean you desire them. Could mean your ancestors wish for you to become closer to them, or even learn from them and be more like them. Take a note of the emotions you felt within the dream, directly after the dream, and while writing about the dream. These feelings could be a big hint toward the true meaning of the dream. Example. May be feeling sad and melancholic while writing about a dream you had. Still, during the dream itself, you felt joy and happiness. This may be the ancestors telling you that you can handle certain situations in a better way, or with a better outlook. Follow your gut instinct. It may be very easy to overanalyze and overthink the messages that are sent to you. Still, you must keep things simple. You have a gut intuition about a specific situation in your dream, with it. Chances are, a feeling is correct. Importance of rituals. Rituals are your most potent form of worshiping your ancestors. As much as they appreciate prayers and offerings, forming a full ritual of dancing, chants, candles, and offerings is a fantastic way of honoring them and ensuring a good relationship. Ancestor rituals around the world. Even in the modern day, cultures from all over the world perform rituals to honor their dead. Korea, as mentioned at the start of this book, are frequent ceremonies and rituals held for the dead. Three particularly important Korean services are Bolcho, the Sebae Bow, and Charye. Bolcho consists of clearing the weeds and rocks off of graves of family members. Sebae Bow is a formal and ceremonial form of bowing, that is often performed on noteworthy occasions and the graves of ancestors. Charye is an offering of food, liquor, and tea given to the ancestors of a family. Mexico, Dia de Muertos, is a world-famous two-day holiday. Members of Mexican households will create shrines to their deceased family members. Many of these shrines include colorful and aromatic flowers, photos of the deceased, food and drinks, and prayers. As well as creating beautiful shrines during Dia de Muertos, there are massive and widespread celebrations. Entire towns come together to celebrate the lives of the dead through parties, parades, and public dancing. Most West and Sub-Saharan African countries, ceremonies to honor the dead are incredibly common. They're often practiced alongside adopted rituals like Christianity and Islam. Funerals are often occasions filled with much dancing and song to help the soul of the dead find their way to the ancestors. Local and tribal shamans still hold much respect, and it is not uncommon for people to visit them to perform a small ceremony to receive wisdom from the ancestors. To perform your own ritual. Forming your own ritual is a piece of how much work you are willing to do and the environment you have available to hold one in. Greater your ritual, more favor you will garner. Do not aim too high. Work within your means. It'd be wise to perform some research on your ancestors' religion or culture. They followed a particular belief system, maybe some things from that which you could include in your ritual. Say you had North European ancestors. You'd incorporate runes and traditional Germanic music into your ceremony. Your ancestors are of African stock. Into the traditional music of their people. Some patterns can be easily imitated and will be sure to please your ancestors. This is another essential part of a successful ritual. Movement and flow of a body to music. Chanting is a raw form of energy and is sure to empower the spirits of your ancestors. Either develop a dance of your own or find one for yourself via your research. Start a ritual as you would any typical communication session. Then call on your ancestors to join you in the celebration of their lives. A mixture of music and dance and a myriad of offerings will please them greatly. Always try to have your shrine as the centerpiece of your ritual. That is your spiritual hub, after all. Ritual like this, once or twice a year on vital days, is sure to keep you in good stead. Saying a prayer to the ancestors. Earlier, we went over briefly how to pray to the ancestors. Here, we will elaborate more on how to use this handy form of communication to enrich your days. Praying is incredibly useful for someone who may not always be home near their shrine. Prayer can find its way to the ancestors regardless of where you are. It can be said quickly on a commute, during lunch, or while out during the day. You can personalize your prayers as well, or opt for more traditional varieties. Their way. Long as you say it with heart, meaning will get across. How to pray to your ancestors. Every prayer you say, you send a bolt of energy with a message attached to the ancestors. Therefore, every prayer grants them some small strength. Prayer is rather simple when it comes down to it. Simply need to close your eyes and focus on forming a connection. Imagine yourself writing down the words you wish to say. Imagine attaching that note to a carrier pigeon and setting that bird free to fly to the heavens. Stronger your focus and the purer the sentiment in your words, more power the prayer will have. Conclusion. We have learned so much about our ancestors in this book. We have explored the history of our belief, discovered our heritage, and connected with our ancestors and built shrines for them. We have even learned how to interpret their messages to us. Now, you, the reader, all the tools you need to start your journey to true spiritual enlightenment through the wisdom of your forebears. Call on you to prepare a ritual for your ancestors. Celebrate your newfound relationship with them. Find joy in having them in your life. Appreciate them. Cherish this great blessing you now have. Take their experience and apply it to your life. You will truly be able to achieve great things. Do not stop there. Continue building upon your knowledge, expanding your horizon, incorporating new things into your rituals. You can spread the word of your enlightenment. Let's bring back a reverence of our ancestors into modern society. A world with their wisdom, a world far less likely to repeat their mistakes. About the author, Monique Joyner-Shebeck is a writer, witch, and warrior on a mission to awaken people to their greatest potential.
This is the future.
gratitude to the ancestors, for they are the ones who set the stage, you know, for us. Shout out to my ancestors, who I feel with me every day, all day, throughout the day, you know. So I hope, but this broadcast should have gave you kind of a springboard just to get started. You know, a lot of us don't know how, where, you know, what to do, where to even begin. So this should be, this broadcast, you know, should help you in some form or another. So, you know, go back, listen to it slowly, get a notebook while you're listening to it, and just, you know, see how you can possibly get started. A lot of tips was made, you know, ancestral altars. You know, one thing they said about, you know, your altars, be very mindful of the location, you know, of not putting an ancestral altar in your room if you are a beginner. You know what I'm saying? If you are a beginner, please do not put your ancestral altar in your bedroom. You know what I mean? I keep mine, you know, in a location that is not, you know, near my bedroom. You know what I mean? So, you know, guys, just now is a great time, an energy space that we're in, to connect with the ancestors, because they are loud, they are here, and they have something to say. You know what I mean? So I want to please join us at 11 a.m., probably in about an hour, 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, because we're going to go deeper into this conversation, guys, because what the reason why I wanted to have this conversation again, because we've had ancestral conversations in the past. So check out the archives if you want to go back and listen to that. But, you know, this the motivation classroom today is being very mindful and careful of who we're calling forth. Should we fear when we call the ancestors? Do we even know who we're calling on? I call my ancestors, you know, but some of our ancestors we don't even know. You know what I'm saying? So we don't even know what type of person they were. We don't even know what they're capable of. You know what I'm saying? There's so many secrets in the bloodlines, you know. So should we fear? You know what I'm saying? So there are certain ancestors, you know, that you just absolutely should not call on. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to go deeper into that aspect of it. So please be sure to join us in about an hour as we're going to go into the motivational classroom. I hope everybody be here today. I haven't heard from the team, but I hope everybody slides through. But if not, you know, I also have some audience, you know, some great feedback from people who have walked and people who have been on this spiritual journey, you know, some tips that can help you guys, because it can be very dangerous out here. That doesn't mean to fear, but we got to be very mindful and very careful. So I'm glad that this platform is here so we could have these conversations to help anyone who may be kind of going through this and just don't have any guidance, you know. Ear wants to be your spark, all right? All right, y'all, we love you. And whatever happens, don't let go of those ancestors' hands. Peace.
He gives another smile, try to understand her side, to show that he cares. She can't stay in the room, she's consumed with everything that's been going on. She said, whatever happens, don't let go of my hand. Be alright.
Thank you, man.